We're joined today by Natasha Pernicka, who is the director of food pantries for the Capital District, which has been around since 1979 and serves, at least last year, about 3.9 million meals in the Capital District. So Natasha, why don't you give us just a quick overview of, what are some of the things that, the food pantries for the Capital District does?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Mark. The Food Pantries for the Capital District is a coalition of nearly 70 food pantries here in the Capital Region. And every year, as you mentioned, enough food is distributed through our coalition for nearly 4 million meals. And as a coalition, we do a lot of things. Some of the things are education and training for the food pantries. We also share the data so that we know that there's about 65,000 people who seek food assistance every year in the Capital Region from the food pantries. We also have a lot of shared services. So people know us most, I think, for our trucks out on the road, moving food from the food bank to the pantries, from donors and food drives, and doing that part of the supply chain here in the Capital Region.
Now, there's been a lot of attention, paid to the issue of hunger, during COVID, because that's been very disruptive both to the economy, but also to individuals, living situations and job situations. Have you seen a major change in the demand for food, during the COVID crisis?
I have to tell you that it's really hard to speak of overall trends during COVID and the economic distress, because things have really rapidly changed. One month things will be one way, another month they'll be the other. But what I can tell you is that in 2020, about 50% of the food pantries in our coalition saw an increase in service, some of them up to 200% increases. And then other pantries actually saw a decrease in service. And some of the factors that include that are a lot of the mass distributions that have been happening since COVID, as well as senior citizens and other vulnerable individuals who are not as comfortable going out and leaving their home during the high rate of transmission times for COVID. The government, the federal assistance programs have kicked in and have supported individuals and households in some ways. But what we've also seen is that people who have never had to use the food pantry system now relying on food pantries, some for the first time. So, for example, when people were laid off and SNAP benefits had not quite kicked in and so on. So it's been all over the board. However, even going into this year now, we're still continuing to see a need. Again, some pantries are still continuing to see lower numbers, and others are seeing higher numbers. What we think is happening right now is, with inflation, while SNAP benefits have increased, we have the highest food prices that we've had in history, in years. And so, especially for families who are just scraping by to make ends meet, this is really making an impact on their budgets, that on top of rising gas prices. And so there are people now turning to pantries again for the first time, because they're at a point where they're not able to stretch their dollars as farther as they used to.
Now, hunger, of course, is a 365-day-a-year problem, unfortunately. And you mentioned, food pantries, the Capital District represents 75 food pantries. I know a lot of the food pantries are very dependent upon volunteers, many of whom, are senior citizens. How has the volunteers been impacted, during COVID? Have people been a little bit more nervous about going out and, interacting at the programs?
Yeah, we definitely saw a decrease in volunteers in the food pantry system. Part of it was a lot of vulnerable adults that were volunteering did not feel comfortable, and some still don't feel comfortable going out. There's also a lot of changes in the models of the food pantry service. So they were relying more on staff and trying to create models that didn't rely as much on volunteers if they didn't have them. So pantries still do need volunteers. The other thing that pantries still need Last year, we saw an abundance of food going through the food pantry system, and we're all continuing to see the supply chain disruptions across the board, and it's impacting the food pantries as well as the food pricing as well. So for people who are interested in getting involved, while, of course, you know, with Thanksgiving and the holidays coming up, a lot of people are there helping food pantries. But the pantries are saying that their shelves are starting to get a little bare. They're not seeing the volume of food drives as they have in the past. And of course, a dollar can go a lot farther for a pantry when they're paying for food from the food bank as it would compared to you going to the grocery store. So please consider donating funding as well as food, personal hygiene products, household cleaning products to pantries. This is a great time to stock up the shelves because it is a high demand time of year for the pantries.
I was looking at your website earlier today, and you know, a couple of programs that I noticed that you're running these days. One is to try to recover, you know, perishable foods, you know, say from restaurants or events. And then, and second, also trying to make sure to address the needs of infants. So what are those two programs involved?
Yeah. So our infant needs program provides free formula and diapers through our network of food pantries. We're a part of the National Diaper Bank Network. And so we are able to purchase large orders of wholesale formula and diapers. It is grant funded, but we also take donations to help us support that program. There's a huge diaper need. I think most people don't realize that there isn't a federal assistance program that will help families pay for diapers. And diapers are expensive. So getting diapers through the food pantry system is one way that we can help vulnerable families. The food rescue that we do, we've been doing for many years. We pick up day-old bread and other bread baked items, as well as produce, and distribute that directly to the food pantries. So it goes out that day, and we distribute hundreds of thousands of pounds of food through that program every year.
One of the things I think sometimes people are surprised about is that a significant number, at least in the past, of guests at food pantries and soup kitchens have been the working poor, that they have a job but are not making enough to pay for housing and utilities and food. Is the working poor still a major part of the participants at the food pantry programs?
It is. And I think that's a really great point, Mark. When we think about who are the people who use food pantries, there are a lot of people in desperate situations. But what we are seeing is there are a lot of people who work. In fact, I was talking with a pantry coordinator, and he shared a story about one of the women who visits his pantry for assistance. And this always stuck with me. This woman was a single mother. She had a young daughter, and she was going to school to be a nursing assistant. And the pantry coordinator felt really good because he was there to help her achieve, you know, her dream so that she could make a living and support her daughter. And the mother was so grateful. And she ended up, you know, graduating from the program and getting a job. And what ended up happening is it's called a benefits cliff. So when you have assistance programs and you start to earn an income, a lot of your child tax credit, your child credits for daycare and SNAP and other benefits decrease. And one of the problems we face as a society is that the wages are not keeping up with the cost of living. So this woman, this mother and her child ended up back at the pantry even while she was working because she had less resources than she did before. There's also a report that United Way puts out called the ALICE report. It stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. And according to the ALICE report, there's more than 40% of our Capital Region community members that are either working, but they're not making enough to get their basic needs covered, or living in poverty. So it's a serious systemic issue with living wage, not having living wages. And I think a lot of people don't realize that food pantries are there to help people who are in those situations as well. Thanks. We're out of time.
Natasha Pernicka, Food Pantries for the Capital District, your website, or for more information?
Yes, great. Thefoodpantries.org. Please check us out.
Thank you very much. And this is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.